5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You are listening to Flowing with Famous, the podcast where we talk about Fresno in all of its glory. I am Joshua Tee, a.k.a. Famous Whitewater, and with me as always, Mike C. of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts. Mike.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Josh.
How are you?
Good. I'm ill. Considering.
We made it through another month.
We made it through I'm partial to the heat I can handle the heat better than most people, it seems like.
Yeah, you like heat.
But
yeah.
I have to admit, that was a horrid month, just for everything. It's just, across the board.
All around.
That was maybe the worst August in Fresno, when you factor in everything, in history. I mean, that was just bad.
I mean, those few days of fire, air...
Wait, there was even early on and back when we had that hurricane, the moisture from the hurricane, and then it was triple digits, and then it was fire smoke, and it was humid, it was hot, and fire smoke, and I'm just and we can't do anything, and it was all right, you got me, this is terrible, I can't spend this
whammy, right, because it's like, okay, so. You know, we're in the middle of this pandemic. We're not supposed, like, the thing, we're supposed to do stuff outside. That's been the safety net, whatever. It's like, you can still do stuff outside. And then suddenly outside is killing us.
Yeah.
You know, like, outside is really, like, the worst. We did a week where we were in the park doing some martial arts training, and Thursday it was really, we canceled, but earlier in the week we went, and as the sun was setting, it was just apocalyptic, and it was like, oh, maybe we shouldn't be outside.
Yeah.
Oops. You know, it was like, and then after that it was like we stayed inside. So it was definitely, this was for weather purposes, this definitely was. August was just an amazingly terrible month.
Yeah,
but we made it through, and it seems like, although today isn't really panning.
Oh yeah, well. Now we have the new thing with the creek fire and
right. So there's I believe that's just going to be, you know, until we start seeing some rain,
right?
Whenever that happens,
that's just that's just California life now for August and September.
Right.
Just
yeah,
that's just the way it is now. And
just fires.
I guess we can't.
Burn down.
Yeah, right. It's like, what's going to be left at some point? I guess we can't live in wooded areas in California anymore. Apparently, or just adapt to it. We're just like, well, this is what happens.
Right.
You
just get used to needing to evacuate, and hopefully it won't happen again during a pandemic. So, but we had some really bad
respect to everybody having to deal with that creek fire and all the firefighters across California, man. I always I'm just like, I'm in my house and I'm whining about the air or whatever, and then somebody's been freaking fighting a fire for
somebody
a month
actually
straight.
Up there having to fight it to make sure that we don't all die, but it sounds horrible, and I'm also, like you, I think super glad that I've never had to truly experience having to go through that, you know, like pack up my belongings, get out, or oh my god, I'm going to have to jump in the water is the only way to save me from being burnt to death, you know? So it's crazy, but, there was more going on than just fires this month in August. There was a lot of stuff, happening. So where do we want to start?
Where do we start?
Let's have some fun early on.
Fun
and talk about.
Oh God!
And talk about the restaurants and people's favorite restaurants.
Oh yeah, B did last month top 10. Well, in case you're wondering what it was, you weren't a subscriber to the B. We'll let you in on the exclusive list that maybe you didn't see.
Yeah.
I don't know if McClatchy is going to come get us or not, but which we can talk about after this. But you want to start with number 10?
Yeah, let's just find out. So this is
readers that voted on this, or
I believe it was, and it should say, but I believe that it was, Bethany Clough with the B had put out a call to readers saying like, hey, we want to do this story that's like, what's your favorite restaurants? Especially right now, just being, you know, the world being what it is, people are really into restaurants for some reason. And right. I think it's just, I mean, it makes sense, but, So she put out a call here for the best restaurants, and a list was compiled. And so let's just go down the list, and then we can, once we get through it, we can dissect some of what it might mean.
Number 10, Max's Bistro and Bar.
Love it. Okay.
Buller than West there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good place. I enjoy it. I haven't been there in a long time, but.
That's where I was there one time, and I saw Christopher Gorham. You know who that guy is? He's an actor from town. Mm-hmm. He's been in a bunch of TV shows, different things. He was Glee. A good Company of Players kid. He was there, and I was like, oh, my God. I didn't say anything to him, but.
He should have said something to you. He was probably like, oh, that's Joshua T.
He was like, oh, my, no. He looked good, man. He was like in a like leather jacket.
Was this somewhat recently? Or?
This would have been years. It was like maybe 3 or 5 years ago. It was a while ago. So,
Number 9, Max's. 5 restaurant.
Never been there.
Never been there either. It's on Champlain.
I'm
not too familiar with Northeast Fresno thing. So,
yeah.
I've heard of it.
I mean, I'm familiar with the area, just never been there.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, they were closed for a while after a fire,
there was a bit. They got burned out for a little bit.
Number 8. The first Fanzler restaurant to make the list, Ranch.
Yosemite Ranch.
Another Northeast, another Champagne Prime.
I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a little bit of a Trader Joe's knockoff, or a Trader Joe's, Tahoe Joe's, right?
Which he started,
Right.
He basically, he made since I can't have Trader Joe's.
Tahoe Joe's.
I'm gonna make my own Tahoe Joe's.
Right.
But go ahead.
No, I feel like there's something on the menu there that I really like, but I can't remember what it is. So
I like it okay, but maybe it's better. I haven't been there in probably 5-6 years or something, but it feels like it's his least amount of effort he's put into a place to me.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Like, it's very much just like, yeah, we kind of, here it is. It's sort of like.
It was the, right. Hadn't perfected the process yet.
Yeah. I was like, this is sort of like Tahoe Joe's, right? I don't know. I don't really need to go back to it. I'll go over to the remaining Tahoe Joe's on her end if I want to do that.
Before you would go, okay, fair enough.
Number 7, Cracked Pepper Bistro.
I like it. I like it. Only been there maybe once, maybe twice. They are famous for the bread pudding, which I will also swear by. I feel like the bread, I don't know if you've had the bread pudding.
I haven't.
But I feel like the bread pudding is whatever. It's good. I mean, but it's the whipped cream. The like whatever they put on top of it.
Brandy, caramel sauce.
Yeah. That's the kicker. But
eggplant appetizer they're known for as well.
Okay.
I have not eaten it, Cracked Pepper.
You've never been. You should go. It's
sort of in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
too.
You should go. Yeah.
Number 6, Elbow Room.
That's it. I mean, Figurton you expect Village, that one.
Classic.
You expect Figurton that Village. One to be on the list.
yeah.
Right? I mean,
as like, expected.
It's just, it's one of those places. No, yeah. Like, knowing Fresno, you would expect that place to be on the list.
Right.
So, regardless of. Yeah, I mean,
they really one of the first to have a significant patio.
They were ahead of the game in a lot of respects. Yeah. Yeah.
So, they.
Well, and I'll tell you, I don't think I've ever eaten there and not been on the patio. Like, I don't think I've ever eaten inside the actual.
I have.
I don't even know what it looks like.
It's really cool. It's actually cool. They got, I don't know. I, again, another place I haven't been in years, but they had like a, last time I was in there, they had like a mural of like, I think probably regulars and Fresno people and stuff inside. And there's like a, there's kind of a old school vibe, cool restaurant vibe in there.
Yeah. It seems awesome. I appreciate the patio, you know?
Right.
It's a place that like, for me at least, I'm never going to go there. On my own volition, like I'm never going to say, oh, let's go to the Elbow. But if I'm meeting, if people are in town or something, like there have been times when they're like, hey, let's eat at the, let's meet at the Elbow Room. And I have, and it's been a fine experience. So
the inside bar, I feel we don't have enough of anymore is kind of like, you know, it's a large bar, which I appreciate that you can just hang out at.
It's old school.
Especially since the Silver Dollar is gone.
Yeah.
But I know it has sort of a reputation of being like a douche central kind of place for Northwest Fresnans. Like if the if you're a douchey Northwest Fresnan, you're probably going to go there. But I still, I don't know. I like it. It's just I don't go there regularly, but it's a good it is a good neighborhood restaurant bar
kind of place. Yeah.
All right, number five, the only, which is very interesting, and I have to applaud Fresnans for this, the only quote-unquote chain in the top 10.
Okay.
And this is really sort of barely a chain, but it's Fleming's up there at Fashion Fair.
Yeah. So I feel like Fleming's is on here because it's nice. And so far I'm getting from this list, like, nice restaurant. You know, it's not, this isn't, and nice, I'm putting in quotes, because, you know, like, Elbow Room probably is more like of a casual place. But, you know, if you look at the list right now, it's like, oh, those are all kind of, like, you know, more expensive, like, nicer places. And I feel like Fresno has this thing where, like, We like nice things.
Right.
You know?
That like that's like our thing is like, we can't be on the water like the rest of California, but we'll have nice places to go to for the night, you know?
Right. So it's like, oh, we like nice places. Anyway, so I feel like Fleming's, like, and this coming from someone I don't think that I've been there. So, you know, take that for what it is.
I like Fleming's. It's sort of our go-to, one of our go-to places if for like, you know, sort of whatever, somebody's big birthday or something that.
So, yeah, it's
not
like
a place I go to nice, regularly or anything, but.
Right, it's a nice place. It's the night out kind of spot. Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely like, kind of like you're saying, it's set up in Fresno's wheelhouse of a nice place to go to.
Right.
It's like a fancier looked at the Fleming's model and was like, all right, I'm going to do.
Right.
Number four, Heirloom.
Yeah. That is an interesting one, I would say, in that it hasn't been open that long and it's a different kind of place than most restaurants in town. And so it's a little weird. I can't believe that so many people are cool with a place like that.
Right.
You know, because it's not just like a normal sit down, like whatever. Mm-hmm. You got to, you know,
a local place that kind of thing to make number four is pretty impressive.
Yeah. For, especially for the fact that it hasn't really been around all that long.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, man, like I've been there several times. Again, this it's a place that I don't think I personally would go out of my way to put on my list of restaurants if I'm going out. Like, but I've been there many times with other people and always had a great time. The food's super good. So
I've only had takeout from there, and it's good. The food's good.
Yeah.
Everything. No, everybody I talk to is like, oh, early,
well, and I early. Think it's definitely one of those places that really like hit, like they did. They hit also. They hit everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so the concept of the food is good. The concept of the food is good. The way that the, you know, they deliver the food is good. The concept of the restaurant itself is good. Everything is just really, it feels like everything's on point. You know, the design of the restaurant, if you're into that, is really nice. Yeah, I just think they, you know, it's one of those places I feel like just hits on all cylinders. So,
yeah. All right. We're at number three, Westwood's Barbecue, another Fanzler project.
Yeah.
Right there in the 41.
Do you think that this is that people did this just because it's like it's one of those places, and we haven't had this on the list yet, that you just get a shit ton of food at Fresno? Like, you know, we just love, like, we love
overfeed us. I'm going out. So I'm spending $100 a night. You better give me all my food.
That spot. This fits that spot of like, and it's funny that it's in the old Claim Jumper place, because Claim Jumper was, that was it, you know, like, and people loved that place and freaked out when it closed for just that reason, because it's like, you
they
got so much
me food. Like,
so I don't know. That's my,
go ahead.
Oh, I just, you know, I'm ambivalent toward Westwood really. And I mean, just because it's like, I'm not like necessarily a huge barbecue guy anyway. Mm-hmm. So
I like Westwood. I like Claim Jumper a little bit better. I'm not being a Fanzler hater here, but I think if I had the choice, I would say bring back the Claim Jumper. I he really screwed up, you know, being all this all patio controversy stuff, because Claim Jumper had a patio, and he got rid of it.
Oh, really? Yeah. They did act. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he
in favor of like more inside space.
Right. Well, and
he has a thing with like not having patios for some.
How would he have
traditional patios? I guess.
Known? Yeah.
But yeah, I like it still. Though I haven't, you know, I don't go that much, but I've been a couple times, and
yeah,
I've always enjoyed it. They have Southgate on tap. Usually they'll have.
Oh, really? Okay.
Usually they'll have a Southgate.
They do have beer. Yeah, when I went, I do remember it being like there was some decent beer, and I had a good time. You know. Mm-hmm. So again, it was like one of those, I was with a bunch of people. So,
right. It's definitely a bunch of people place.
Yeah. Sitting around a big table, being loud.
Number two, the Annex Kitchen.
I mean, Sean, that's definitely Ennis. One. That's one that you knew was going to be on the list. I quite frankly,
Jimmy, that's Pardini, one that I Pardini would argue, family.
You know, that's one that's just, it has to be on the list, and, you know, it could have been higher probably, you know, I mean, it could have been the number one from everything that I hear from people anyway, but yeah.
Well, it's one of the places that if a Food Network comes to town, they're going to go to Annex Kitchen kind of place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
And number one,
it's one of my favorites. I don't eat there. I mean, you know, and right now everything's in a whatever. So
right.
I haven't been eating out much at all, but
they've been having a tri-tip truck out front of there whole time, I haven't gone for some reason, but
yeah,
I don't know if it's affiliated with them or not, but,
I think it's, the, you know, they have that place next door.
Oh, okay.
That used to be the, like, whatever, but they reopened it kind of as a bar or something. Mm-hmm. So I think it's affiliated with that. I can't remember what the name of it is, but the place that's, like, right next door in that same building.
And, of course, if you haven't heard it yet, you might have guessed. Number one,
Gizmos.
Never been there.
All three. What? Have you not been there?
I've never been there.
Really?
Nope. Never been there. And truthfully, I don't, like, I have no inkling to even go. Like, I just...
You're not a fish guy?
You know, I do. I like fish, but I just, it's no one that I know really seems like...
Well, we're gonna have to invite Josh next time when this opens up again. Like,
next time,
Josh
should
go to Pizmo's with
I'll
us.
Go. I mean, it seems like I should, but yeah, I've never been. So,
wow, that's shocking. That's shocking. That's rocking Fresno Twitter right now. I can feel it.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know about that being the number one.
Can
we talk? But okay, so let's talk about this list, because can you have a top 10 restaurants in Fresno list without one freaking Mexican place?
Oh,
like can you have
no
it? Does it I mean can you That's, have
that is wrong that is very
can you have a And I mean, so they're saying restaurants, and so maybe that.
I think, in the frame of mind of like big.
Maybe, you know, but, big. You know, can me and Ed's not be somewhere on the top 10 list in Fresno? Regardless?
Yeah, I think it's not framing, but. Right. I don't think I think the list wasn't framing it that way. It's more like this is what. In my mind, I'm thinking like, you know, you work from a 5-star sort of mindset and work out from that. And like, instead of thinking like the best food, it's not the best food, it's the best place.
So, yeah. So when you're saying restaurants, it's the best, like your best place to go to get food, mm-hmm. I think is what it's talking about. Mm-hmm.
And that's what's funny is there isn't maybe because the restaurant, I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out, but like there isn't a definitive Mexican restaurant of that genre of restaurants that are just like destination, you know, get a table of 10 and we'll be served and it's white cloth tablecloths. And
well, I mean, I
that is weird.
The thing isn't saying fancy, right? It just says restaurants. And, you know, so there's a whole level of restaurant that exists that isn't, you know, necessarily nice. And I think that, you know, like, I would argue that Sal's could possibly be in the top 10. Hmm. Now, obviously, you know, I feel like the Selma, the original place, is a much more of that kind of destination place where like people know and go to than the Fresno one, but still.
Yeah. Or like I know a lot of people have issues with Bobby Salazar's, but like imagine if Bobby Salazar had like one definitive Bobby Salazar's he went all in on. And this is the one Fresno Bobby Salazar's, and it's big, and it's, you know, it's on Blackstone and Shaw or whatever, and it's like everybody goes, then maybe that's on the list. But like, since there's like freaking five Bobby Sal's, and there's, you know, there's three Guadalajara's or something.
I notice
everything on the list is just one definitive restaurant, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I just see it seems a little like, it seems a little white to me.
It's North Fresno-y, that's for sure.
I mean, it is. I mean, just look at where it's all located. And so to me, it's like, so Chef Paul's, is Chef Paul's not on the list? You know, everybody talks about that place, so, you know, but it's somehow not on the list. You know, I don't know.
And I think all you're saying is right too, but then also there's so many good Mexican restaurants and it seems like a regional very like sort of thing. Yeah. And for that I'm not the amount of people that has to come together and vote for this one single place to get it into a top 10. It's cause it's so spread out.
I understand. I just don't, I wonder if this top 10 list is, a completely representative of, Fresno.
No, what Fresno definitely is not.
Cause well, but from a certain standpoint, it kind of does. You know, if you're thinking about look where all the restaurants are located, look who their clientele is going to be. They are sort and of the, representative mm-hmm. of what Fresno people think about restaurants. I mean, mm-hmm. they're not chain, so that's good. You know, so we didn't get like, you know,
right. Fleming's being the only one. It's not really not how you would think of a chain anyway.
You know, so. So that's good, you know. I mean, it's nice that we didn't, you know, the Applebee's or fucking, you know, TGIF is
Applebee's
or whatever it is.
Dude, I love Applebee's.
So that is cool that we're able to, mm-hmm. you know, have 10 restaurants that are arguably worthy of being on the list. I just feel like it's a little bland.
It is.
And if you think about it, like all the food is sort of the same. In the same range. That's and true. So you're telling me that like you're you
if,
know,
if you don't have steak, then you don't get to be a restaurant.
Right. You know, and I'm sure like so that's what I'm saying that and I get your point about you know the Mexican restaurants and other you know, but it seems to me like you gotta have some better representation than this. But
agreed.
That's, you know. And, you know, at the same time, I'm trying to think of like, okay, what is south of, you know, Herndon that I would put on
or
the list?
South of Shaw, I guess,
south of Shaw. And maybe it does. Something in the tower. You know,
I mean, Livingston's.
The tower doesn't have anything that's going to be on that list.
Livingston's?
I'll tell you this, if the Daily Planet was still there, that would have been on the list. So
Vinny Vidi Vici's, it's too small to make that list.
Some people do love Vinny's. Yeah. Some people do love Vinny's. I have only had food there a couple times and I thought it was amazing, but I don't know. Maybe the fact that I'm not exactly happy with the list says what it needs to say. I don't know, but so I'd be interested to the people on Twitter who are listening to this to let us know.
You guys are stupid.
What do other people think about this? Did it hit the mark? Are there what places got left off? Or you know, should Annex have been number one? Anyway, I thought it was really cool, though. It was an awesome story that Bethany did and the kind of thing that, like, you know, a newspaper, I don't know. It's just, it was a cool thing to do because it gets people talking, especially right now when it's like everyone's talking about restaurants anyway, because, you know, we all know that they're struggling to try to figure out things through all of this pandemic. It was good.
Let's see that Tower District's going to get some of those parklets.
Dude, I'm very excited. I mean, so don't look
something
at
we
now,
should have had our, anyway without this pandemic. The kind of
probably.
Things.
And here's the cool thing, though: they're going to be permanent. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they're gonna. I think they're movable. Right. But
I saw Bitwise has had one for a while or something.
Yeah. So they're going to be very similar to that in, but the design will be a little different. I guess there's two different designs. And they went through that whole process, you know, the Tower District Design Committee, so that they'll fit the neighborhood.
That's good.
And they're all going to have murals painted on them.
I like that. Just you're saying it's permanent because I saw that and I was just like, all right, that's cool. But also, it's still as cool as those little parklet things are. They still have a feel, a temporary feel.
Right.
And it's like, well, this is cool, but I mean, it really needs to be permanent.
Right. From everything that they said, you know, the idea is to have them there and then they would be able to use them for like the, you know, toast of the tower or whatever, or the different events that they have. And the idea is that they would have some on both sides all the way down, you know, so it would be like the flow of it from, you know, Van Ness all the way down to Fruit or whatever, or Palm, I guess.
I mean, it's not like they're building any new parking, but I mean, I see that it's going to take away more parking, but also I don't think on that section, we don't need to be parking in front of the restaurants.
Well,
it's better used as a patio.
Right. Well, so, and what they were saying, I mean, right now it's definitely like, you go ahead and you just get rid of that parking because it's a trade-off worth it because the restaurants need that in order to stay open. Right. So that's kind of the thing. But, you know, the Tower District Marketing Committee guy was saying that, you know, when he goes to work, all of the spots along all of Avenue are taken, but all of the parking lots are empty. And that's usually how it is, like throughout, you know. So it's like during people just want to park. And so it's like, it's again, and it's sort of the same thing with downtown, where it's like, there's no shortage of parking. It's just, can you park where you want and get easily to things? So it definitely will be a little more. And, you know, when the Tower District gets real bumping, you know, there are times when there's no parking or blocks.
Yeah, I've had to park. There's been times where I've had to park like deep, almost at Fresno High, like deep in that neighborhood back behind everything. But that's, you know, that's event style things happening.
And it depends on where you're trying to go to as well. But I think it's cool. And
take
I think
an Uber.
It looks really nice. And I think, you know, A, it's going to slow traffic down through there. You know, and we'll see, you know, it might make it, who knows if it might be dangerous, you know, in you know, some crazy drunk from Bobby starts, you know, peeling out.
Just the amount, just the people walking through on all of, because I'm thinking like the sidewalk's going to be the same, but like the patios will be sort of, there'll be like the sidewalk will be in between the patios and the restaurants themselves. So
that is
the randos will be walking through. And I definitely, as lively as the tower can be on a deep into a Saturday night, I mean, I think it's definitely going to be interesting. Some interesting things. But you
know, you see this in other cities, they do these things and they work really well. So I think it's cool. I mean, I just think it puts us on level with other cities.
Yeah.
So I think it's really
just
cool.
Giving Tower something new to generate.
Right.
Because sometimes I forget about the tower, which was, I never did in my 20s and 30s was just like tower. Like first was like, well, where are we going to go in the tower? And I don't have that mindset anymore. So I don't know what the generation behind me is doing with the Tower District.
Right.
Are they, you know, using it like we used to use it, or are people not going there? I don't.
Right. Well, right now
I just go in beer bars, obviously, but one exciting thing in the tower that I've been harping on forever, I've asked people to be, and I never could find out, but the lot that's been there forever, that's behind Kuka's and behind Vici's patio, that just been sitting there for since time began, apparently.
Empty parking lot that no one could use. Yeah.
Has now going to be lofts, or not lofts, but like condos or nice apartments.
I think they're actually lofts.
Okay.
It's Granville, so they're going to be the Granville style housing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm super excited about that. I think it's really cool.
People are mad about that it's Granville, and I sort of agree with that, but also it's a lot better than that lot being there doing nothing.
Well, right. And I think that, look, it's Granville, but look, Granville has the money to do it. you know? Yeah. And so it's like, that's just, it is what it is. And, you know, is it going to be the best thing? You know, probably not. Because it's Granville, it's going to have a real, it's going to have that look, you know, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's going to be really nice to have another, you know, multi-living housing thing that close to the Tower District, you know? Yeah. I mean, I think that's really cool. And I think it begins to bridge like the, that gap again between downtown and Tower, you know, because it's another kind of housing, and because of the type of housing it is and the look of it, it's going to bring like a little more of a visual tie between, you know, that the two areas. So I'm all for it. When I saw it, I was like, cool. I think they should do more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I have problems with Granville for sure, but also nobody else was doing it. So
right,
I'm thankful that somebody.
And when
is.
Was the last? When was the last time there was any new housing like that built in the town?
Yeah, it definitely needs to be more of that. I mean, I was hoping for a hotel. I think a small hotel and right in the Tower is highly needed.
Right,
desperately needed, but.
Someone, I mean, that would be the case of like, yeah, finding.
I wish that dollar store right there in the freaking center, that eyesore of a dollar store,
rip that shit out and put a little
hotel there.
Yeah, I mean, I think a hotel would be really awesome. You know, I could see like, you know, if someone could, you know, get. You know, buy what would have been cool was what's that place on Moroa and Shields right there? It was like those old ratty ass blue apartments or whatever, like turquoise apartments. You know what I'm talking about? And they were for sale for a while.
Oh, the ones that are on the tracks right there that
they're like
that
right
historic
by the track,
significance, and they're all sort of themed and.
It's on Moroa right God there.
Damn, what's the name of those?
Called,
they're sort of anyway. Sort of famous. Kind of things.
Well, so they were for sale, like, you know, years ago. And something like that would be cool, you know, or something where they take, you know, an old apartment complex and turn it into a hotel, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be cool. I could see that really being awesome, as opposed to like building, you know, some new
kind of quality weird or something.
Yeah. Like, you know, we don't. I think that would be
because that's been a problem, like, you know, forever. Is like because you know the Tower, you know, cycles through people from out of town coming through, and either performing or seeing somebody perform or something. Yeah. You know, the film festivals and there's literally nowhere to stay there. I mean,
right? You have to stay downtown or Clovis or
somewhere on Blackstone.
I know, like, I had a friend drive up from Visalia, and we were hanging out for his birthday. He's because they were spending the night in Fresno, and they ended up staying like on one of those places up on Herndon, you know, new, like, whatever. I think over there by Heirloom and all that.
Yeah,
you
know, there's a ton over there off of Fresno and
you know, in some respects, it's like, well, that makes sense. It's right off the freeway. You just, you know, whatever, but. Yeah, it would be nice if, you know, there were some place. I think there's opportunity anyway for someone if they had a little bit of capital to put something like that together. And it'd be
I imagine there's some Airbnbs in the Tower District. I'm never really looked
I'm sure.
at that for
yeah,
a long
yeah.
time, but.
Yeah.
Let's get a hotel bill.
Definitely.
It's time for a music break, Josh. We still got stuff to talk about, but.
Yeah,
it's time for a band of the episode.
Let's do it. So the band of the episode is Squid Ink. So this is a really cool band. Let's play the song and then we can talk a little bit about it.
She said, "You don't belong here. Please don't control. Red lines keep us away. She paid the money for the drink. She just wants to feel safe. Who's on patrol? Loud, black, brown, all the rest. Feeling nervous? Dial tone. Ha ha. 9-1-1. Ha ha. Just call it. Just call it. Fear me, cause I'm breathing a little too close, a little too close. She said, you don't belong here. Who's on patrol? Red lines keep us away. She paid good money for the split. Said she don't see race. Who's on patrol? Loud, black, brown, all around. Feeling nervous? Dial tone. Ha ha. 9-1-1. Ha ha. Just call it. Just call it. Good damn. You fear me? Cause I'm breathing a little too close, a little too close. Don't let the sun down get you here. 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 Don't let it.
All right, there we go. That is Squid Ink. It was a song called Sundown. So Squid Ink, they got a fairly sizable little profile in Spin Magazine in August.
Don't see too many Fresno bands in Spin.
No, I mean, yeah. So, you know, the headline, Squid Ink challenges anti-blackness in punk rock for a better modern scene. And it's cool. So it's just, you know, it's talking about, kind of like show, like goes through their story and what they're trying to do. And it's really cool. So this band, if for people who don't know, it's kind of an offshoot of, Fatty Cakes and the Puff Pastries. So, Vashina, who plays bass in, Fatty Cakes, and then, Audrey, who plays drums, are both in Squid Ink.
She's everywhere.
I mean, I think they're just, they're a really cool band, and they're doing some really cool stuff. And especially now, I think, you know, these are the types of voices that we need to see represented. So, I think it's cool. I think it's cool that they're out there and they've been able to get some press on this. So, and they have this new single out. So check it.
Fresno music keeps going.
They're on Bandcamp and all that other all those other places. So it's cool, man. I'm really like, it's cool to me to see, like, if you follow this back, and you probably remember the whole friend core scene that was back in Chinatown.
Yeah, I remember.
During the, I don't know, teens, I guess, 20 teens.
yeah, whatever you call
it. Is that what it was? Yeah, in the 20 teens. Yeah, and they, and there were a bunch of bands that were playing, you know, whatever. And it's awesome to see how all of those bands sort of spread out and changed and twisted and turned and where they are now. And, you know, still they're really, you know, pushing the scene forward and being able to do like this, like really pushing it forward outside of just the Fresno market or whatever. So, totally cool. Totally cool.
All right.
Go check them out.
So many things to talk about still.
Yeah.
The renderings. We love talking about renderings. I love looking at renderings.
Drawings.
The coolest, one right now is the, I'm just calling it the CVS building for.
Oh yeah.
If they can make that. Yeah. Tuolumne and Van Ness and Fulton block.
Yeah. Here. So answer
see where this, the CVS building is.
Right. Right. Fulton and Tuolumne, essentially. Sure. And right now there's a CVS. It's set back. They're going to sort of.
And then the Fresno postage stamp mural.
So here's the question. So there's some controversy because part of that building involves a parking structure, right? Which I think is totally cool. But that parking structure, and in fact, the whole building, I believe, is going to obscure the mural from the street. And so they're trying to come up with a design that would like have a little walkthrough or something that, you know, so you would have to like walk to go check out the
It'd be the a viewing area.
Right. A viewing area. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think about that?
I think it's sort of just a necessary evil. I think overall
you're a gentrifier.
Yeah. No, I don't want that. I just want the neighborhood to be better, but the price to be the same.
Yeah.
Given how cool the building is in general, I can overlook the fact that it's going to block the mural. I love that mural. It's probably an underrated mural, if that's something you can say. But, you know, the fact that you still be able to see the mural if you want to. I mean,
yeah,
random person's not going to be able to see it. Right. But, you know.
And it might make it cooler, you know, having to really look
for it.
Look at it. Like, you got to know where you're, you know.
Right. You're like, oh, you got to check out this alley. But just the fact that it's going to have the lofts and you're going to have retail on the bottom of it. And it's just going to look way cooler than that a parking lot and a CVS building. And it just looks, it looks like something I see in San Francisco. Like there's a couple of times I've stayed around Fisherman's Wharf. There's a Safeway there. And it looks like that, kind of looks like that. Like there's a Safeway and there's a parking structure and then there's what I assume are lofts or offices or something above it. And so it just all in that one kind of block. And it looks like that to me. So it looks like a city to me. That's something I see in a city is something like that.
Right.
And there's not enough of those in Fresno. So I'm like, all right, if we have to cover up a mural,
It's built for density. And you're right. We don't have enough of that. You know, we have a whole lot of what's there now, which is essentially like strip mall, the kind of stuff, you know.
It doesn't look like a downtown, you know, a parking lot with a CVS, a regular ass looking CVS does not look right.
I think, you know, truthfully, and it's I believe this is a true statement that we don't need parking lots downtown, you know, like we don't need parking lots.
Right.
You know, we need parking spaces, sure. And there was some question about the parking spaces too, because Anyway.
I think it was that they ended up having like extra, you know, more, a little bit more than they were required.
Yeah.
And some people are like, oh, there's too much parking. Like, oh, God dang.
Right. You never win with these people. But no, I think, yeah. So anything that we can do to increase like the density of build, like, you know, the density of building. So if we can take, you know, that space mm-hmm. and make it into a space where instead of just one building and parking lot, we get multiple businesses and more people living in the core.
I
mean, to me, that's rad, you know?
Mm-hmm. I just hope it works out because I don't know that there's supposed to be a very similar esque thing on the other side of Fulton and across from Tioga, the lot that sits there that they use for, trucks, food trucks now. Yeah, that's supposed to be one of those. And that seems to be just sort of going to be one of those things that are forgotten, or maybe it's still in the works, hopefully, but
right. It definitely hasn't had any progress. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't, you know, really followed up on that one, but you know, if the CVS building happens, if the building on the other side of Fulton happens and the Hotel Fresno all come together. I mean, you're going to see just a completely different downtown. And then I think that might be where you begin to see, like, you know, way more businesses wanting to come in.
The more people CVS, living there densely, then the more businesses are going to be like, okay, maybe we'll open up there.
Yeah.
Did that market by you ever still not open up?
So the other day, I drove by.
Rural District Market.
The door was open and there were people moving around in there.
Oh, there's movement.
But
it's still not open.
It didn't look like it was open yet. No, but it looked like, you know, so I don't know. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, apparently they were stocking shelves not too long ago. I think I saw a story in the Business Journal where they were like, yeah, it's ready to open. The shelves and stuff are in. So, but I don't know. The minute it is, I'll let you know.
All right. Yeah. Get it out there on Twitter. Joshua Teehee. Follow him on Twitter. Wait for that breaking market news.
Yeah. Breaking market
news. Something that is.
Remember when Fresh and Easy? Hold on. Remember when Fresh and Easy opened downtown?
Oh, yeah.
It was such a big deal.
Oh, yeah. We were all out there. That was one of the few things I got invited to. I was in with the press corps there that day. I was like, woo,
it was
look at
awesome.
Me.
It was just like the greatest.
Everyone's like, oh my God,
it made me feel very excited for Fresno, like weirdly, but like because I was living in downtown and it was just like, oh, this is awesome. Anyway, okay, moving on.
Isn't there like a dollar-esque place there now?
It's a bargain market.
Yeah.
So, which is cool. I mean, it's cool. It's something.
Well, one thing is getting built is a structure getting built is the parking garage at the airport is finally gotten underway.
That'll
be cool when it's done.
Yeah. We need
I just like
that,
the airport's that really, is, I don't know, we have a solid airport for a town of our size and it's just getting building better and stuff. So.
Yeah. Why do people trash on the airport so much?
I don't know.
I feel like people trash on the airport. Like, oh,
I think they haven't been other places. Yeah. It's like,
is it expensive? I think it might be.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's,
there's not a lot
I mean,
of
it's,
or something, well, right?
This is the thing that pisses me off about like when people compare fares and stuff. And it's like, of course it's a little bit more expensive. It's not going to be. You're comparing it to LAX, like the cheapest airport to fly out of. You're comparing it to San Jose and San Francisco. These are the cheapest airports to fly out of in the West Coast.
You're like, well, if I flew out of San Francisco, it'd be $300, but out of Fresno, it's $425.
Like, well, yeah. So?
Okay. Thank you so much. I hadn't thought about it. I really don't know because I don't fly. I just hear like people all the time when they're like, yeah, we're flying out of blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, I guess they can't.
It's
and
worth
I guess
it,
maybe
people. Like, you know what? If you're a family And yeah, it's that price is going to start cranking up and you're like, okay, maybe right, we right. should go to Sacramento. Or I mean, I've done all those things. I've gone to LA. I've driven to San Jose. I've driven to San Francisco, driven to right. Sacramento, flown out of every, but it's, and unless you're saving a giant amount of money, it's right. way worth it to just fly out of Fresno. It's like so easy.
Just well, the last time I was at the airport,
makes
like
things
so
easier.
I like I said, I don't fly. So I've flown out of there in the past, but recently I was there for a work thing. And yeah, it's awesome. It's really, it looks like a legit airport, you know, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, I think I've flown out of Bakersfield or something one time. And I was just like, oh my God, this is, you know, you expect like prop
yeah.
planes.
Or yeah.
Or
crop
or
dusters or they're having to wait yeah, for right, crop dusters.
Right. right.
Like, sorry.
yeah.
That's it, Captain. Speaking of our crop duster, and we're gonna be on the tarmac here for a few minutes.
Yeah. Or you know, or like Chandler, people think it's like Chandler Air Base, and it's like, no, it's a legit airport. It's a we're international, man. We got a
yeah,
bunch of
bro. Yeah, yeah, we're opening up
out,
a Mexico City flight.
Mexico, so yeah, but yeah, so go. It's cool. Yeah, I'm glad that it is continuing to like better itself.
Well, before we go, I got to make sure we talk about the passing of Tom Seaver.
Oh, man. Fresno's, yeah.
Fresno's son, Tom Seaver, probably the greatest athlete to ever be a Fresno, I'm going to say.
That was going to be my question. Is he, I mean, and some of it, it's like there's comparisons to be made because, you know, it's like, football, baseball, but you know, if you compare like, you know, the how they are ranked and all that stuff, is he the greatest athlete?
Fresno. I know we have, Tulare has an Olympian historically. Uh-huh. I'm talking about like all
sure.
time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I know there's some, track and field play like Gina Prandini's. I mean, well, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure. Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think, yeah. but nothing. Tom Seaver was like the number one pitcher
for
a while in baseball and all of the world. So it's pretty, that's hard to beat that.
He definitely is in that top five, top three of the, you know, mm-hmm. sports people that come from Fresno. Mm hmm. And also from Fresno and like,
right.
Like from Fresno, legitly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There wasn't he's been a year. Started there. Like, he's a Fresno
right.
native.
And right. Right.
And,
yeah.
And you know, he even mentioned Fresno in his Hall of Fame speech, which you mm-hmm. don't hear at all. And then,
right.
Even though he ended up living up in Northern California, I think he had a winery and stuff like that up there. But, you know, his wife is a Fresnan. His everybody, yeah. his whole family.
Well, you had you had the blog, an interesting blog about that. You know, his father-in-law
owned Fig Tree Liquor, and you know, when we were kids, it was, you know, pretty cool that like it really was like we were really into baseball cards, and this was like the best place to go for baseball cards outside of a card shop. There was a place, that Vineyard place that Shaw and Blackstone used to have a lot of good ones too. But this, and it just so happens that it was Tom Seaver's father-in-law. So it was always cool to go in there and like, you know, you get to ask him about Tom and like, what's going on? Like, have you seen Tom? What's he doing?
I wonder if he liked that. Like if he was like totally proud.
Oh no, he was you know, because he knew we were baseball. If we're buying baseball cards, or like these are the These are the kids. Like he was a really nice guy. I remember just the gray hair and sort of probably not real tall. And I imagine he's. I don't think he's still around, but
Because how old was Tom?
This would have been in the 80s. So
right. So he
Yeah, I think Tom he was still playing, but it was definitely towards the end of his career, I think.
So, I think I read that he had COVID.
Yeah, it was.
Like,
well,
it is,
that's
I
not,
mean, he,
he did have something.
He had dementia and stuff for a while, right?
Like he had a thing, but it was that COVID basically aggravated and made it. If it wasn't for COVID, he probably still be here, but it wasn't
right.
Solely because of COVID.
Right. And it wasn't the way that I read it was like, you know, he had dementia and like,
yeah,
it seemed like it was later. So this was an inevitable thing.
Yeah. This is one of those things where it just COVID pushed it.
Right. Oh yeah. Well, that is.
But I'm just very thankful that we've had Tom Seaver as somebody, everything I've read about him and heard about him, it's just been he's a good guy. There's no like, far as I've heard anyway, no, like he's just a good guy, and that's why he was so popular in baseball.
Where right.
He's such a good pitcher, and then he was also a good person and. At the time he was voted into the Hall of Fame, he was, I believe it was unanimous, or it was the most percentage of votes anyone's ever gotten on a first ballot.
Huh. That's awesome.
I may be wrong. Mike Oz may be going crazy right now. That's all right.
Right. There, you are a liar. You don't know what you're talking about. But it's something along those lines. Yeah.
So mad respect for the Seaver family and
right.
everybody and big cheers to
all right. RIP. Yeah. And go down and drive Tom Seaver Lane when you get a chance.
Yeah. In front of Fresno High there.
Yeah. That little stretch.
Go get
of
some
what?
Ampersand. Get some quesadillas and ice cream.
Quesadillas, ice cream, and records. That's records. What you can get right on that.
Tower Records.
Man. Strip, and you should. So those are all places that I would
And there's recommend. Coffee there, too.
There's coffee. Yep.
If you want to go in there and see what they got in there in that coffee shop, you might be surprised.
Okay. Anything else?
Oh, gosh. There's so much. But
Probably is. Yeah.
It's all so tiring. The whole world is so tiring. Josh,
I agree. I don't know. Yeah.
Respect to all the teachers and the staff of Fresno Unified, all the people working in the offices.
Oh yeah.
All the people, still having to show up at the schools and work there.
Right. So you
and have everyone trying to do trying to all the parents trying to get by.
You
with
have
this.
A child. How
I
has
do
that been
in the Fresno Unified?
Like. How's
it's not,
so
you know, it's not great, but it's not horrible there. I mean, I feel for the kids that don't have parents, either don't have parents that are on top of things or don't have parents that have internet access.
Right.
I mean, it is definitely exposing.
Right.
I mean, it's been there all along. It's not like, I think the school staff, teachers and staff don't know about it, but it's really very much exposing that those inequities of just life in general.
Well, there was that
not good
horrible
parents
story
or just parents that can't afford internet access.
Right.
It's
there's rough. That horrible story of the kids like outside of Starbucks or whatever doing their homework on the freaking sidewalk in the parking lot because that was all the only place they could get internet access or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, it just shows that, like, you know, and also you have to think about, you know, that maybe there are parents who would be on more on top of it, but are also working and trying to figure out that and whether they're working at home.
Right.
And they have to, you know,
figure
out how to share, you know, how do we share?
Right.
How do we share the internet bandwidth? Oh, you know, like how do we? They're working outside of the home and they're like, how do I care for, you know, there's a child that still has to be at, you know, so what do you do? You know,
and then we're lucky enough. We have, support around us. We have, you know, we live in town with family. So we have that sort of within our bubble kind of support but not everybody has that. And,
right.
You know, and there's kids that are there's kids out there that are homeless and that they're they don't have that school to go to, and but there's no good choice, but this is a choice we have to make. I support it. I'm not one that I don't think we should open up schools right now because we can't, because it's just gonna explode the virus. But also it's rough. And I think Fresno, I have no idea about Central or Colvis, but I can speak to Fresno Unified. They're trying their best, and it's not, and it's really dependent on teacher to teacher kind of thing. But I think overall, and it's not perfect, but everyone's trying, and I think everyone's concerned about the kids and doing what's it's best interesting. For the kids. But
I want to say, like, maybe you had mentioned this last time, but like the possibility of, like, you know, CMAC or somebody doing, you know, having the curriculum being available, like broadcast, to me just makes so much sense. And it's weird that, like, and I mean, maybe that's a
It's too tough because, well, I don't know. Whether CMAC can do that, and then you've got 12 grade levels, then plus kindergarten.
How do you
broadcast that?
Right. Yeah. Right. Because I mean, yeah, it would be a weird, and then class to class,
and then also like a school's funding is. I mean, I don't know how you could probably adjust that being this COVID go around, but schools funding is based upon the attendance, the children's attendance.
Right. How many?
If you're just broadcasting that over TV without any interaction from the teacher,
You still have to have a way to.
Right. To, you need you to know,
say,
yeah. But I don't know. it's rough, man. We just got to get through this year, hopefully, and.
Right. And then,
because I don't know that it's going to come back for, it might be a whole year of virtual.
Well, I'm interested to see. So, another thing that happened was Emanuel Schools in Reedley, reopened, right? Against the state order. And they actually won a temporary. The county wanted them to close and went to court and tried to file a temporary restraining order that would, you know, or an injunction that would stop them from doing that. They actually won that case. I think they went back on Friday, and I didn't see anything about that. So I need to look at that, because there may be some more information, you know, that has come out. I haven't seen it, but. Or maybe that case, you know, will take more than just a day. But and so they essentially operated for most of August as a normal school, you know, and just had their. So it'll be interesting to see if cases pop up from that, and we'll know because the county is definitely going to tell us. You know, if there's case, the minute there's a case that could be linked back to a school that reopened against their, they'll tell us. So it'll be interesting to see.
The best example right now is like in the South, a lot of the colleges are open and they're having just gigantic outbreaks around there. So it's like, this is what's going to happen. So,
the school itself take it for what it's worth, but they have one of the parents is a, I can't remember if he's an immunologist or a virologist, whatever, but he works in the field, and he actually says that he did some studies, took some blood samples of student population, student parent, staff population before they did all this, and that, you know, there was enough of the samples had immunity and antibodies that he was comfortable saying that there would be a herd immunity within that community at the school, and so they would be fine. And that was their argument when they went to court. It won at least the first little round, the temporary injunction. So you know, now what that means, who knows? But that's what they were arguing essentially, is like, well, there's only this many of us. The school is a smaller school because it's a private school. And, you know, because that's the case, you know, we have herd immunity within our, you know, whatever. So
yeah, take it I'm for what it is. It.
But we'll see. You know, we should have. So that was in August. We should be able to see probably in September within the next couple of weeks.
Right.
We should start seeing if there's numbers popping up. And if there are, you know, I think you're going to be seeing that school shut down. So,
man, we just need to get. Can we get to next summer, please? Can we just.
Right. Right. We just need to halt and
it's all tiring. But I'm really tired of being tired of looking at all the things that I'm not getting done around my house. I'm really tired of that. I need to leave, go places where like, I can forget about all the things I'm not fixing at my house.
I'm not doing.
All I'm doing is walking around looking like, oh, this thing's not fixed. I can't fix that. Yeah. This thing's not fixed.
It's fine. It's fine to not do anything and just be like, eh, whatever. Yeah. Well, is there anything else for the good of the episode?
I think we're good, man.
And I'm you know, happy that we were able to continue doing it here and let people know what's going on. And, you know, we'll be back for October. No Fresno fair.
Yeah, we'll talk about the no fair. Talk about how we're going to handle Halloween and stuff.
That's a good question. Good, and I will have some stuff to say about that and probably more information this month. So, okay, cool. Well, then,
it's time to plug it up.
All right. You want to start or you want to?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Blog, thefresnan.com. Yeah. It's still, blogs are still exist and I still they have do. One. Fresnan.com.
Is it on Blogspot? Is it a Blogspot?
No, but I still have Blogspots. They updated, like, I put this out a couple months ago. Like, they updated the Google owns Blogspot, and they updated the dashboard, which they kind of just forgotten that they own Blogspot, and Blogspot's just sort of sitting there, just like doing nothing. And so, whenever I log into a Blogspot, all of a sudden the dashboard was completely new and they updated. I'm like, whoa. And I went on Twitter like, hey guys, they updated Blogspot. And like, no, it was crickets. Like
crickets. Yeah. No one even, they're like, okay.
Like, dude, I'm the only blogger in America
that's still
tweeting about Blogspot.
Blogspot.
But no, the president's on WordPress.
Okay. Very good.
Oh. WordPress is okay. You have to.
Yeah, no, WordPress.
You have to have WordPress. Everything's based off of WordPress so it's like you're almost forced into having WordPress.
Right, to have WordPress. And WordPress is good. Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's that. TheFresnan.com and then MikeyTopPoor.com is my beer blog. And then my number one thing I've been focused on outside of the podcast are beer newsletter.
Oh, right. You got the newsletter.
drinkingandthinking.substack.com if you want to get a weekly beer geeky newsletter.
I do kind of want to get that. Yeah. I'm going to have to.
You don't have to be a beer geek. It's just beer. It's really beer culture. Yeah. Like, yeah, drinking culture around beer and what it's like just hanging out with beer.
What is it again? How can I get to it?
drinkingandthinking.substack.com.
Substack.com. Okay,
and cool. Then the Perfect Pour weekly craft beer show.
Yeah,
every Friday. Find it in the same way you found Flowing of Famous. And get off my podcast. Harris Ford. We had a new episode since the last time.
Okay,
we talked. So there is fairly recent episode of it out there updating Harrison Ford's life and times of flying his airplane around places,
right? That's right.
Which is all he's done.
What he does pretty much.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's all he's been able to do.
Like, I'm a pilot.
Yeah.
Who do you fly? No one. He just
flies
around.
He's got planes. There's two airports in LA. He has planes at. So the dude's got eight different planes.
Dude, I appreciate that. That's just how he gets around. You know, like us.
Well,
like,
he's got a ranch in Wyoming, and he just flies back and forth from LA to Wyoming. Just.
Just, I would have to, like, you know, take a car, train, yeah. like, figure it out.
And Calista,
he can just be like, ah, I'm going to fly myself over.
Yeah. Calista's brave enough to still fly with him, even if, well, with all his little mishaps.
Even after the.
There's rumors that he's the guy in the jetpack in LAX, but I don't know.
No,
I don't know. We're starting that right now. Here's that would be the jetpack awesome. Guy.
You just did. You just started that rumor. Everyone put that out there. It was Harrison Ford at the jetpack.
Hey, there's those other things. What do you got, Josh?
So I will plug my day job, obviously, at the Fresno Bee, FresnoBee.com, FresnoBeehive.com. If you like stuff that we do here on the podcast, a lot of the information that we get comes from Fresno Bee. So
all right. I've been waiting for this. Now I got to ask you, I was going to put this in the regular show, but now I was waiting for this. Fresno Bee, no more offices. McClatchy's, you've got different owners.
Yeah.
You got no more offices. Yeah. What's up?
So McClatchy went from being McClatchy Inc. to McClatchy LLC, essentially. So we went from being a publicly traded to a private company. And we have new owners. It's a hedge fund. Seems to be so far that it's good. And they brought in this guy. We have a new CEO. And he used to be with the Tribune newspaper service. You know, a guy who is a newspaper guy and understands the industry. And, you know, we're going to have our first sort of meeting with him next week. And so we'll see. But every reason to be optimistic. Now, at the same time, the building that we moved into at Bitwise 41, we are no longer there. So I think
you barely even got the look, huh?
So look, I had been in there. I spent 4 days, literally 4 days there. So I came in on a Monday. On Thursday, they were like, hey, we're going to be working at home. So start working at home tomorrow. And we've been working at home since. The rest of the office, you know, everyone else had only been in there a week before the pandemic hit. We had been paying rent on it for all that time.
Yeah.
We would be paying rent into January. And so I think they were just, and this is not just like us, the Fresno Bee, this is happening across, across newspapers. People are just there. You can't afford it. So we moved out of that building and everyone is sort of working from home and figuring it out until January. And then, you know, I think probably in the late, you know, I would think in November, December, there will probably begin talks again of like trying to figure out what we might want to do to move back into a space. But I would assume it'll be even smaller.
Yeah.
Than the space that we're already in, which is totally.
I would think you got to have like at least like a meeting space for interviewing people or your group has got to be able to meet somewhere, even though, I mean.
And so we're trying to figure that out right now. And obviously, you know, COVID is really messing with all that. And in a good and a bad way. So, we can't get together, but also we're realizing, well, yeah, we can do most of what we need to do via remotely, you know, so there's not really a whole lot that we need to do in person. Now that it kind of sucks if you're used to an office environment where there are people and that, you know, some people thrive on that. So that's been difficult for some people, but you know, hey, it is what it is. It's sad. I feel sad just because I think the Bitwise building was really nice. The atmosphere was really good there. Yeah. I think it was a really good, positive step forward for us. And then to have it kind of pulled back, kind of hurts a little bit, but it is what it is. And I think, you know, again, we're not the only business suffering. So, and again, I think it's completely related to the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's not related to the, the bankruptcy or the new owners or anything like that. So anyway, there it is.
There it is. Fresno Bee. Read it, support it, support local journalism.
Yeah.
The bee is in good shape, but just you don't have an office at the moment just because everything's weird. It's not that something we're not, not yeah. We don't need to freak out about the bee leaving right now or anything.
No. I mean, from everything that I can ascertain, other than
support it.
It seems that, yeah. I mean, and that support, I wouldn't say like, who supports us so that we don't collapse or whatever. Really, I would say support it because like there's good work that's being done, right. And stuff that I really feel like people need. And reporting that's being done in a way that no one else is doing it. And so, and that is just, that's worth supporting if that's something you think is important to your city, which I do. Mm-hmm. So that's why I would say
for sure
support it. But, so there's that. And then, I have various musical projects. Most of them are kind of in limbo right now, but, the Striking the Originals, we will hopefully have a couple of releases coming out soon. They're done. We're just trying to figure out how to put some stuff together to make them cool. I think we're trying to get a video done and some other stuff, but it'll grow back. If you're looking for more hardcore punk rock, I haven't done a whole lot recently, but we have stuff that's available.
It's out there. Get it in your Spotify or Bandcamp.
For those who are like old school, mm-hmm. school, I was in a band a long time ago called Dr. Rocket and the Moon Patrol, mm-hmm. a ska band. And we actually, the guy who was sort of who ran the record label, who put out our CD way back in the day, is actually releasing a 7-inch of 4 or 3 tracks that haven't been released, and then 1 track that has been released. But and it's just a limited edition lathe cut record. I think there's only going to be 20 of them made. But it's stuff that like I don't even have these songs on physical copy anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, like they just don't exist. So he's putting it out. It's Beat Happy Records, or you could probably just look up Dr. Rock and the Moon Patrol, but if you're interested
something
in that
physical, I can buy purchase.
Yeah, yep, for sure. So, my other podcast that I do is a martial arts podcast called Aikido Discussed. And that's every week we talk about Aikido and other martial arts stuff. And that's on all your podcast platforms, you can find it. And then we also have a video channel. Kind of related to that. So that's Aikido of Fresno. And you could look that up, and we have all sorts of really interesting, I mean, if you're into martial arts, but a lot of interesting videos. We're typically putting like 1 video up a week right now. And it would be cool if you're into that, go check it out, subscribe.
All right.
There it is. Man, that was a lot. That was a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Well, I think that's it. Yeah.
That's it, man. Tell all your Fresno friends about Flowing with Famous.
Yes.
This upstart podcast.
Feel free. Oh, man, we didn't do it this time. Let's make sure next time to talk about Fresno podcast.
All right. Next time.
So let's just make a mental note.
Sure.
For next episode, we'll talk about some Fresno podcasts. If you are a Fresno podcast that wants to be mentioned on our podcast, just shoot us the note. Let us know and we'll include you. Let it, you know, just send us like, hey, here's our podcast. Here's what we do. Blah, blah, blah.
There's never talk about us.
Right. Otherwise, is that good?
That's good.
All right. I'll count us out. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.